ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1 as we're continuing our study through, I believe, this really wonderful and powerful book. In this book, it kind of gives us the way to live that victorious Christian life. And we've kind of divided the book up like this. In Joshua chapters 1 through 5, it's how to enter the land or how to enter a life of victory. In chapters 6 through 21, we are going to look at the conquest of the land or how to win battles. And then in 22 through 24 of Joshua, instruction on continued success and also warnings of the dangers that are out there. And as I said last time, we need to keep in mind that for us as Christians, maturity is not the result of winning one battle or two battles or five battles or 10 battles or 100 battles. It's a battle over the enemy that lasts a long period of time. It's a lifetime. And during that, there should be growth. There should be maturity occurring in our lives over those years. And yet, what we like today so much is we like things instantaneously, don't we? I mean, I can't tell you how often I get frustrated at my computer because it took, 3.5 seconds to get to something. It's like, really? Before I had to go to the library and, go through the little catalog thing to find the books I was looking for and the hours it took to find things. Now, 3.5 seconds is, too slow. We have to remember, even as a kid, when we were growing up as kids, how often? Oh, I can't wait till I grow up, get my driver's license, do this, do that. And then we grow up, we go, man, I wish I was a kid again, I guess, circle of life, whatever. But it takes time to grow up. It takes time to mature. And that's true for us as Christians. I think we're so hard on ourselves, but we need to remember this is a lifelong process. And the work that God began in us, He says He's going to complete. And I take that promise to be totally true. And I know He's going to do that in my life, in your life. I've called our message this morning, The Promise of Victory. And as we're going to see, God gives to Joshua and the children of Israel some very specific things for them to do, and then how they're going to accomplish these things. It's a walk of faith on their part. The problem comes many times when we refuse to walk by faith or we turn from God. We don't trust Him. And we don't do those things that God has called us to do. I'll show you what I mean with this story, how things could just cause us to be entangled in so much stuff that is just not, it's not allowing us to walk. We're told that walking through a park, I passed a massive oak tree. A vine had grown up along its trunk, and the vine started small, nothing to bother about. But over the years, the vine had gotten taller and taller. And by the time I passed, the entire lower half of the tree was covered by the vine's creepers. The mass of tiny feelers was so thick that the tree looked as though it had innumerable birds nest in it. Now the tree was in danger. This huge, solid oak was quite literally being taken over. The life was being squeezed from it. But the gardeners in the park had seen the danger. They had taken a saw and severed the trunk of the vine, one neat cut across the middle. The tangled mass of the vine's branches still clung to the oak, but the vine was now dead. That would gradually become plain as weeks passed and the creepers began to die and fall away from the tree. How easy it is for sin, which begins so small and seemingly insignificant, to grow until it has a strangling grip on our lives. And yet Christ's death has cut the power of sin. Yes, the creepers of sin still cling and have some effect, but sin's power is severed by Christ, and gradually sin's grip dries up and falls away. How true that is. Sin, disobedience can trip us up, it can tangle us up, and we need to be wise. And here in Joshua, we're going to be looking at what God has promised them and how they did most of what God said, and yet they didn't do all that God had said. And we see that played out as we read through the book of Joshua. And then we get to the book of Judges. And we see the results of what happens when you don't do all that God has said for us to do. And the book of Judges is a sad book. I mean, it really is when you look at what's going on in the nation of Israel. How they turned from the Lord and God sent judgment upon them. They were in bondage and they cried out to God, deliver us. And God brought a judge in to deliver them. And then everything went well, prosperity, and they turned from God. And God brought judgment upon them. And we see it over and over and over again in the book of Judges. They didn't fully listen to what the Lord told them to do, and it hurt them. And, you know, I don't know about you, and, you know, maybe it's just me, my wife says it's just me, but I like to win. I don't like to lose. I mean, I've told you before, my wife and I, you know, well, my wife doesn't, I do this, you know, we'll get up to go to bed, and I have to beat her up the stairs. I just do. I'll give her a little start sometimes, but just a little, because I want to win. I know, I have a problem, pray for me. But that's just me. No one likes, I don't think anyone really likes to lose. And think about our Christian lives. Don't we want to be victorious? How many of us want to be losers as a Christian? I hope not. If you feel that way, we need to talk. God wants to give us victory. But we have to learn to walk by faith and trust in His promises to us. I remember when I was growing up, my family had this 5-foot deep swimming pool. And it was wonderful, man. We would play in it all the time. But, you know, it took a long time for that water to warm up. And so when I got up on the ladder to jump in, do you think I would jump in? No. You know what I did? I took my foot and I dipped my foot into the water to see how cold it was. That's how we live out our Christian lives sometimes. We just want to, you know, put our toe in. We don't want to get too involved. We want to do too much. We just put our toe in. And God says, no, I want you to jump in here. You need to walk by faith. Don't just stand there. Don't just move a little toe a little bit. Take that step. And what happens many times, you know, when we just put our toe in, we pull it back because it's cold. And we don't go in at all. That's wrong. You know, for us as Christians, do we trust God enough to go forward? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So with that kind of as our background, let's begin reading in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. And let's see what the Lord has for us this morning as we study through the book of Joshua. This is what we're told. The Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Now, as we go through these verses this morning, we're going to see what the children of Israel did and kind of look at the spiritual application then for our own lives. And I think we'll see what the Lord desires of us, that He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature in the faith. In other words, we would live that victorious Christian life. And I'm not saying that we're not going to encounter battles. Of course we are. But in these battles, guys, don't we see the victory? We should. As we walk by faith, as God is leading. Remember what we were told in Joshua 1:2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. The call by God to Joshua is that he is now in charge and he will be the one who's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. God promised them this land. And yet, what did they have to do? They had to go in and take it. I think what many miss in regard to this is that God has given them the land. Look at Joshua 1:3 again. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Did you notice it's in the past tense? Why? They didn't enter the land yet. The land wasn't theirs yet. Why is it in the past tense? Because in God's mind, it's a done deal. The land's theirs. He's given it to them. But they had to walk by faith into the land, believing in the promises God had given them. Again, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. You see, we have God's promise to them, right? What's associated with God's promise is man's responsibility. They work side by side. And look at the area of land that God gave to the children of Israel. In verse 4, it says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. That's a huge area of land. One writer put this into perspective for us. This is what he said. In terms of current political boundaries, the promised land would thus cover modern Israel, the whole of Jordan, a large part of Saudi Arabia, half of Iraq, the whole of Lebanon, part of Syria, and the whole of Kuwait. Wow. Can you imagine that? All that land that God had promised them, it was all theirs. And yet, this land that God promised was about 30,000 square miles, but as you go all the way into Solomon's day, do you know how much land they actually occupied? 3,000 square miles. God said, all this land is yours. What did they take? One-tenth of it. That's it. What happened? Why didn't they take all the land that God had promised them? Well, let me ask you this first. The land that God had promised them was dependent upon what? What did they have to do? They had to walk by faith, right? They had to walk by faith, take possession of the land that God promised them. God could have simply eliminated their enemies, right? That would have been nothing for them. Poof, they're gone, right? Easy deal. But he called them, the children of Israel, to partner with him to see his will done. They needed to be obedient to what God had said to them. But as we go through the book of Joshua, we'll see that it really didn't take place. They weren't completely obedient to the Lord. They took some of the land, but not all that God had for them. Why? Because of compromise, they became complacent. They never drove out the enemy completely. And they thus never possessed all the land that God had for them. And yeah, did it take effort? Absolutely. It was tough. There were battles to face. But they were to press on. They weren't to compromise what God had for them or become complacent in what they had. There may be even unbelief here. If they truly believed God had given this land, they should have taken it. But again, they were satisfied with what they had. And we'll again see in Joshua that after a while, they got tired of fighting in the battles. Do you ever get tired of fighting the battles? You just want to just go, what's the use? Just throw your hands up in the air as Christians, right? Learn the lessons here. God has far more land for you. Don't take one-tenth of it. Take all that God has for you. Remember, in Numbers 13, this is the problem for the children of Israel. Why they walked in the wilderness for 40 years? Because of unbelief. They didn't trust in the promises of God. Moses sends out 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. One member from each of the tribes of Israel, including Joshua and Caleb. And turn over back to Numbers 13 for a second. We're going to pick up in verse 25. And listen to what we're told. Numbers 13, starting in verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, the Amalekites in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So 10 of these spies came back and said, look, man, the land is great. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. The fruit is just magnificent. Look at these grapes we have. The land truly flows with milk and honey. And what was the problem? After that, it was the next word. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. And you can put whatever is stopping you from moving forward, just as the children of Israel did here. The people in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Let me ask you a question here. Was what they were saying about the people, their cities, the giants all true? Absolutely was true. Absolutely. I mean, they did exaggerate some. You know, the land which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then there were giants there, the Anak. Well, yeah, they were. We were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so we were in their sight. But take away some of the exaggeration. The land, the people, the fortified cities were overwhelming, and how in the world are these group of people who just, you know, had come out of slavery, they've been walking in the wilderness they've been out there for probably a little over a year now. How are they going to be able to drive out and win these battles? See, from a human perspective, as you look at the enemy and you look at this ragtag group of people, yeah, they were 2.5-3 million, but what kind of weapons of war did they have? They didn't have fortified cities. They were out attacking these cities. So how could they win? How would they drive them out? They couldn't win. They couldn't take this land away from these people. Did God say he wanted them to do it on their own? Or did God say, I'm going to do it through you? I've given you this land. See, God gave it to them. And we read that here in Joshua all over again, 40 years later. In fact, in Numbers 13, 1 through 2, we're told the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. God gave them the land. What did they have to do? They had to enter it. They had to walk by faith. They needed to trust in God's promise to them. And yeah, the people were great. The cities were fortified. There were giants in the land. And that was not the issue. God's the issue. And he's the one who promised to give them the victory. Do you think when the spies came back and gave this nevertheless report, that God was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. There are giants in the land. Those cities are pretty big. I don't know how I'm going to handle that. We laugh at that. But we encounter those things. And there are these giants of people or power. There's these fortified cities or whatever that are in our way and we get overwhelmed. And we can't do it. We take God out of the picture. You think, well, what were they supposed to do? They were just to walk by faith. And that's what we read here. Look at, again, Joshua chapter 1. Look at verses 2 through 4. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. This was a walk of faith, guys, trusting in the promises of God. But they trusted God some, but they didn't fully take all the land that God had given to them. Like I said, not even close. What happens many times is as we become discouraged, and we start, oh, what are we going to do? It's, oh my gosh, it's so bad. We bring others with us, and they start listening to the things we're saying. Oh, it is really bad. Oh, we're really in trouble. How are we going to win? And what are we doing? We're taking their eyes off of God, too. That's what happened in Numbers 14, verses 1 through 4. When these 10 spies came back, gave this bad report. This is the result of their bad report to the entire nation of Israel, except for Joshua and Caleb, who said, let's go and take the land. It says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. That's what unbelief does. It's catchy. And they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to the world. They're tired with the wilderness stuff. They didn't believe God had given them the promised land. And they were going to go back to bondage. And for Moses, you know, sending out the 12 spies, it represented the entire nation. And from 10 spies, we got an entire nation weeping, right? Except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. It is amazing how we can lose sight of what God has for us and get so discouraged that we don't trust in the Lord. All this land, God said, some 30,000 square miles is yours. Oh, 3,000 is good. I'm comfortable with that. No. Take it all. And we read these stories sometimes and we think, how could they do that? I mean, come on. God was with them. Look at all that God had done in their lives. Remember what Paul said in Romans 15:4? For whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, might have hope. These are lessons for us. Don't think we're any better. Look at all that God has done in your life. And then he tells you, I want you to take this step. Kind of like putting our toe in there. I don't know, man. It's kind of cold. I don't know. Those are giants in the land. The land devours people. Look, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? We're no different. It's really just a lack of faith. And not taking what God has given us. It's complacency, compromise. God's given us these victories. We've got to walk by faith, though. Alan Redpath wrote the following in regard to the Christian's victory in Christ and stepping out in faith. This is what he wrote. Full blessing in the Christian life is not bestowed except to eager, hungry people who press in to receive it. True, God has blessed us all with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, but the blessing is in heavenly places, and these are places to which Satan has access and where he still can cast all his fiery darts. God does not bless his child unless he sees him eager for the blessing. He desires every one of his children to press in against all the assaults of the enemy, that we may lay hold of that which is our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that every foe we shall ever meet in that battle already has been met and conquered by our Joshua. Just as God has promised the children of Israel, he's given us promises as well. He's given us victory no matter how big the enemy may be, how strong of an area of the flesh it may be in your life. What do we have to do to have that victory? Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Are you willing to do that? Stand on the promises of God. Believe them by faith and walk accordingly. And think about it. In these battles we face, such as lust, pride, greed, and so on, God has given us the victory. But unless we step forward and tread upon that territory, giving it to the Lord, we're not going to see the victory. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do all things through Christ, not apart from him. And that's where we get into trouble. We try to do it on our own. In 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, my intelligence. You're laughing at my intelligence? No, it's our faith. Isn't that interesting? Our victory is in our faith. Faith in who? Faith in God. Who is he who overcomes the world, John says, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's our victory. What are you going to give to him? Are you going to walk by faith? This is yours, Lord. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to walk. That's where our victory is found. And it's not just a faith in anything. It's faith in Jesus Christ and his promises to us. As we walk in the Spirit by faith, we'll see the salvation that the Lord brings to the situations we face. Paul in Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. it's interesting because that word substance means title deed or ownership. Well, how does that apply to our faith? Well, think about it. God has promised something to you in His Word, and thus faith is believing you already own what God has promised, even though you don't see it yet. It hasn't come to pass. Now, I'm not talking about name it, claim it. Don't go down that path, okay? But I'm talking about trusting in God's promise to us. Does God want to give us victories in these areas? Absolutely He does. There's no doubt about it. God had promised the children of Israel the land of Canaan, and it was theirs even though they didn't possess it yet.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.